We live in a time in human history when it's possible to maintain very intimate connections with people and places that are thousands of miles away. And if, like me, you know someone in the West Coast or in the Rockies, it's been almost impossible to get through this week without a deep sense of grief about the fire season that's raging out of control west of the Mississippi. Friends and family have lost homes or a lifetime of possessions. People have died. And entire towns that I've visited in my prior life in Oregon have been completely wiped out, burned to the ground. Maybe you don't know anyone out there, but you have been noticing the haze over Michigan this week. We're calling up Nick Schreck today to talk about this. He's an associate dean at University of Detroit Mercy, and his field is environmental law. Nick, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
We hear that our air quality has not, in any official sense, been impacted by the West Coast fires. But I got to say, the sun definitely looks different this week. Do you know what's happening?
Well, right. So we're seeing the haze, which is the smoke from the wildfires in the West. The Pacific Northwest in particular is what is sort of, you know, blowing and wafting into our direction. So we're seeing that. And that haze that's blocking out the sun is from the wildfires. But in terms of air quality that we're breathing on the ground, we haven't seen, you know, really noticeable upticks in harmful air quality that we're measuring at monitoring points around Southeast Michigan.
How far has smoke from the West Coast traveled, if we're seeing it here?
Well, thousands of miles. I didn't plug that into my GPS, but right. I mean, definitely it's over. I mean, just think about the distance, right? It's traveled over the Rocky Mountains, over the plains, now over the Great Lakes and here into Southeast Michigan. And they're continuing to see even impacts of the wildfire smoke on the East Coast. So pretty dramatic how far it's traveled.
How unusual is it for smoke to travel that far?
Well, it is unusual for us to see smoke from other states and certainly from the Western United States or Western Canada, but it does happen. And when you have these large, you know, many millions of acres of fires that are burning, it does create a lot of smoke, and it's something that does travel very far and we can pick up on satellite imagery. It's not unlike when you have major volcanic eruptions that also can impact weather and air travel and all sorts of things even far away. You might remember a couple years ago there was a volcanic eruption in Iceland that impacted air travel all over Europe. So it's not uncommon for this type of thing to happen.
Right. Nick, I read that you taught in China for a while, and that's certainly a country that's had to deal with its own issues in terms of poor air quality. Could you describe the effect of trying to live and work in a highly polluted air environment and just what the effect is on society as a whole?
Well, a lot of the impacts were similar. So I was in Xi'an, China, which is central China, in a very industrial area where we would often have air quality alerts that were similar to what is occurring now in Portland and in Seattle and in California, meaning that there's very high levels of particulate matter in the air. And these are really fine particles, like dust particles, that they actually get lodged in our lungs. We don't respirate them out or breathe them out. And so over time, they can be harmful to your health. So it's actually, I was just reflecting on this the other day, that 6 years ago when I was in China, I was regularly wearing a mask when I was out in public or going for walks. And I had a mask that had a fine filter similar to the N95 masks that we've heard so much about now with COVID-19. But the idea was to prevent those fine particles from entering into your nose or your mouth and then into your lungs. And so it's something that's noticeable, and it's also, the air has a heaviness to it. And particularly for people with asthma or with other breathing difficulties, it can be just very hard to even go about your day, to run to the grocery store or to do errands, because the air, it's actually physically harder to breathe when it's so laden with particles like the smoke from the wildfires or smoke from a smokestack from a factory.
President Trump has maintained that what's happening in the West right now is not about climate change, that it's about poor forest management. Forest management definitely is a hot topic out West. What do you think of the arguments that the fire-prone areas of the United States aren't being maintained in the best way with respect to the natural fire cycle?
Well, I think there's certainly more that we could do to make sure that undergrowth and fallen trees, dead trees that are laying on the forest floor, you know, cleaning that up, making sure that it's properly maintained, is something that we should continue to work towards. But remember, these are millions of acres of often federal land, but there's also state land and private land. And so to do that kind of intensive clearing and just making sure that you're keeping brush and undergrowth cut down, it's an intensive amount of labor and a lot of effort, and it would cost a great deal of money to do that. I do think it's a smart thing to do to continue to manage our forests effectively to try and reduce fires, and then to actually let smaller fires burn occasionally. I mean, that's something that from indigenous people that were living in the Western United States and Western Canada pre-colonial settlement, they would regularly have forest fires and set them and let them burn to continue to clean out that underbrush. So that's something that I think we could learn. But climate change is definitely a factor. I mean, we are seeing warmer, drier conditions year over year in the American and Canadian West, and that is continuing to dry out these forests and to lead to the type of situation where we have now, where it's really just a tinderbox, and with some hot, dry weather, and whether it's, man-made fires or lightning strikes, they can just burn out of control.
Do you expect that we might see some climate-driven migration within the continental U.S. within the near term?
Well, it's certainly something that planners are looking at, city planners, state planners, thinking about how people may change their habits, but also where they live. And so when we think about climate migrants, there has been this idea, this notion that people that have maybe relocated to the Western United States or the South in the United States, that they may start looking for cooler, wetter climates, like here in Michigan. And there's even some states and cities that are looking at this as an economic growth opportunity. Buffalo, New York, actually, has done a lot of research into looking at how they can attract people who, maybe tired of having to constantly flee from forest fires or just from the dry, oppressive heat that is often occurring now in other parts of the country.
Are there ways we should be thinking about fires and the related natural disasters in a different way in the public space?
No, I mean, I think I would just say that for air quality, right now we're not seeing, dramatic spikes in particulate matter pollution that people are breathing in, but it's something to keep an eye on, because as air currents change and if you get maybe a directional shift in the wind, we could potentially see ground level impacts from the Western wildfires. And so it's something that I know that the state Environment, Great Lakes and Energy Office is keeping an eye on. And we just have to make sure that we're tracking that, because we could have poor air quality, and that would mean that we would encourage people to stay inside, keep their windows shut, that type of thing.
What kind of ground level effects are you talking about? Like just the AQI index might actually change?
Correct. Like depending on just whether it's pressure in the atmosphere, the way that the wind is blowing, that's one thing that we just need to keep an eye on, is that you could potentially see an increase in particulate matter pollution from those Western wildfires. It's unlikely that would be at a level that's harmful for us here in Michigan. But again, it's just something to keep an eye on. And I think a reminder that pollution does not respect borders. Pollution doesn't respect political boundaries. It will migrate in the air. It will get up and travel in these air currents and can impact us, again, even though it's thousands of miles away.
Nick Schreck is an associate dean at University of Detroit Mercy. His field is environmental law and policy. Nick, thanks for taking a few minutes to talk to us about this.
Thanks for having me.